Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, and hopefully I don't argue with you as much as I argue with Mike. We get into it. Fargo, Ohio dynamic the two of us have.
Well, you're both Southern Ohio originally, is that correct?
You know, Mike is a Pittsburgh guy. He grew up in Pittsburgh, and I grew up in Central Ohio. So, you know, I always like to joke those Pittsburgh guys pretend they're not part of the Rust Belt. But, you know, if the Ohio River touches your state, you're part of that, whether you like it or not. So, in all seriousness, Mike is the best college basketball writer in the world and a really dear friend, and we have so much fun over there at Sporting News, and I'm honored that he recommended me to come on your show.
Well, we are really pleased to have you for the first time and hope to have you back as well. And, you know, just to finish up the last topic, when your football team is called the Steelers, how do you get away with saying you're not in the Rust Belt? I don't get that at all. All right. So the power in the Big East resides. Well, we'll get to the bigger pictures later. Let's just talk about the Big Ten for one thing. The power really resides in the East once again. And I guess the big question is, I guess there may be more than one, but can Michigan sustain? They upset Ohio State last year. They took the title for the first time in that Ohio State didn't win it, I think, after five in a row. And they're in a quarterback competition. Is it just the Big Two, or should we be talking about more teams coming out of the East in the Big Ten?
Well, it really starts with those two. And what Michigan's win last year did was put another wrinkle into the game. It had been eight meetings since they won, a decade. And, you know, it brought some much-needed life into that rivalry because Ohio State, quite frankly, in the 21st century, they've only lost that game twice. Ryan Day's built an offensive machine through recruiting. And, you know, the thing with Michigan, though, is they win the game, and now there's this notion that Jim Harbaugh takes an NFL interview. The recruiting's lagged a little bit. I mean, did they get enough momentum off that? I think they're going to be very good on the offensive side of the ball, no matter if it's McNamara or McCarthy at quarterback. The question is, can they be as dynamic on defense? I think they're going to be solid, but, I mean, you're seeing what Aiden Hutchinson's already doing in these NFL preseason games. He was a generational talent off the edge for them.
And Ojabo was pretty good, too, and they lost both the edge guys. That's true.
Yeah, and they dominated the Ohio State game. I mean, they did, and that's the big question now. So Ohio State, on the flip side, has this offense that comes back. It brings back, you know, led the nation in yards, led the nation in points. And I keep telling people they have. It's not often you look at a college football offense when you're like, there are four first-round picks at the skill positions. C.J. Stroud's going to be a first-round pick. Travion Henderson's going to be a first-round pick. Marvin Harrison Jr. and Jackson Smith-Jigba are going to be first-round picks. And it'd be hard to stop on that side of the ball, and they're mad, right? They got a new defensive coordinator in Jim Knowles, and they're very angry. Ryan Day used the word edgy about 100 times at Big Ten Media Day.
Mm. Wow. Well, I tell people listening to the show know that I attended most colleges in America, but I was at Ohio State longest of that group, full disclosure. People are saying this Ohio State offense could actually be the best college football offense ever.
Yeah, I wrote that story this week for Sporting News and kind of compared it. You know, Army 1944, I wasn't around for them.
Oh,
averaged 56 a game, but they had Mr. Inside, Mr. Outside. That's still the standard. You know, Alabama averaged 52.5 a couple years ago. With everything I just said, you know, Mac Jones, Najee Harris, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, all of those guys were first-round picks. And they didn't even have Waddle for half the season. LSU, 19, Burrow, Chase. They're the one, Michael, that down the line we're going to look back at and be like, whoa. Because I know I'm speaking way early, but there is a potential that Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and Justin Jefferson could all be Pro Football Hall of Famers. I don't think that's that radical of a statement.
Yeah, just a quick one for you. Have you ever heard anybody at Ohio State regret? I mean, I regretted at the time that they let Joe Burrow go, that they didn't see what they had there.
Yes and no. I think no, because the late Dwayne Haskins threw 50 touchdowns. It's not like he had a bad year.
Right.
You know, in 18, they had a really good year. They lost to Purdue. Burrow had a rough first year at LSU. I think the regret in some ways comes in the form of, you know, and I grew up in Southeast Ohio and went to Ohio University, and just the way that Joe Burrow has emerged as this guy that everybody in Ohio loves now because of the Bengals, and the regret being they watched him reset the record book at LSU, and think he's going to go on. Like I said, it's early, but there's the potential for a Hall of Fame career there. And not only that, I mean, he got the Bengals to a Super Bowl in his second year as a starter. I think they're going to have a long, really good career with him there. He's got that. Yep. They always talk about it. You can't measure it. That it factor.
Yep. Yep. I know I've been a huge fan of his coming out of high school, and was shocked that, but you're right. Haskins learned quickly on the job, didn't seem to make the same mistake twice. I really thought he'd have more success at the next level. Michigan State, Mel Tucker, one of the two big teams that benefited most from the transfer portal. Most people think they take a step back. They get the Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year from Colorado from 2 years ago, Jarek Broussard, at running back. Don't know if they can make a run. But looking at it overall, I started calling them the Power Two. Ohio State and the Big Ten, excuse me, Ohio State, the Big Ten and the SEC. And can the Big Ten really, with Ohio State out front and Michigan, another top 10 team that's expected to be top 10, can they really keep pace even with the SEC?
I think it depends on what you're looking for. I mean, from a competitive standpoint and programs that are actually capable of going to the college football playoff and winning a game, I think the SEC has more teams right now. Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M. And then the rest, you don't know. I mean, I don't know that Florida could win a playoff game or Tennessee could get there. And I think what's interesting with all these realignment moves is right now the Big Ten, I've kind of recited this stat a few times over the summer, but bear with me. If you look at the top 12 all-time winningest programs in college football, six of them are in the SEC right now. You got Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Texas coming in. The rest of that group is Ohio State, Michigan, Nebraska, Penn State, USC, who's going to the Big Ten, and then the other one's Notre Dame. So if Notre Dame somehow eventually ends up in the Big Ten, you would have all those brand power, and I would call those the 12 schools that kind of matter most in terms of national coverage, and we could get in the weeds on that if you want. You know what I mean? But I think they would be equal in terms of viewership, revenue, TV interest as the SEC, which is a regional brand.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and that's why I think that all of this expansion, all of this you know, your buddy Mike DeCourcy there, your colleague, predicting there's a Super League coming sooner than later. The NCAA won't get out of the business. They're kicking the NCAA out of the football business. And I don't know when you think that'll come, but it's really, I think they could be killing the golden goose when you relegate teams like Colorado and the Pac-12 or the Big 12 teams if they wind up there, even the most of the ACC, if you relegate them. Like to a lesser thing, I don't think the money is going to be the same. I don't think people will have the same kind of rooting interest. Maybe they'll watch a championship game and some of the playoffs, but it becomes a postseason sport at that point. And I think they killed the golden goose with all of this greed, and ESPN and Fox, of course, driving the bus here. Final minute here. Give me your prediction on the Big Ten this year. Who comes out of the East? Who comes out of the West? Who emerges into the college football playoff?
Man, I hope you don't like watching the same movie over and over again because it's happening. Michael, I think Ohio State wins the Big Ten East. I mean, they've got all the tough ones at home, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, Notre Dame. I think Wisconsin finds a way in the West. They have a little bit of a bounce back year. Both teams go to Indy. I mean, a startling trend, the Big Ten East champion has not lost the Big Ten championship game since they went from legends and leaders to East and West. So it's kind of hard to pick against the Buckeyes. I think they go back to the playoff, and you can lightly pencil them in for a championship game against Alabama.
Wow. Okay. So number one versus number two. We had Phil Steele on, and he often says the same thing. Mike, I'm going to be controversial, Michael. And he goes with the chalk because there's really no other way to go. And he's an Ohio guy like you. Hey, it's been great having you on, Bill. I hope we can do this again. I'll be in touch.
Anytime. Thanks so much for having me on. Take care. Have a good one.